Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say a big thank you to all of you that have taken time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Thursday, August 24th, 2023. On our last broadcast, we explored the Biden administration's appeasement of the Iranian mullahs. I talked in length on Monday how $6 billion is going to be paid to enrich the mullahs' continued terrorism of the world. Oh, by the way, they claim it's going to be used for humanitarian purposes. And, of course, we need to believe that, right? That was with Iran. Today, I want to talk about Afghanistan. It is amazing to me how this administration, representing the Democratic Party that is supposed to be so incredibly tolerant, and of course the rights of women are just championed by the left, right? Think again. Look what's happening to the women in Iran with the silence of the Biden administration, the appeasement of this $6 billion. Today I want to focus in on the oppression of women in Afghanistan and how the Biden administration has enabled the Taliban to once again take control of this country and silence the women of Afghanistan. Before 2021, there was more freedom for women in Afghanistan. They could go to their jobs. They could go and teach in schools. And you know absolutely that that has changed dramatically since the debacle of withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan in 2021. The world witnessed just how weak and incompetent this president is. And as a result, 13 servicemen, 13 of our top military men were killed as a result of this debacle, of this withdrawal that the world witnessed. When you saw the hundreds of Afghan people, and there was one isolated shot of one person who hung on, I think, to the engine, to the wing or something, and then plummeted to the ground. That was in August of 2021. It wasn't very long after this debacle that the Taliban walked in and announced to the women of Afghanistan that the times are changing. Now, to the world, they wanted to give this image that, oh, women will have freedom and rights. Yeah, that was the same thing that Khomeini said before he came back to Tehran. This is really a sad, sad situation. And today, on The Cross in the Desert, I want us to hear a couple of short sound bites that will give you the backdrop of what has happened since August of 2021. I call it the long, slow death of Afghan women under Taliban rule 2 years later. What I want us to do is we need to understand, as a result of this absolutely mismanaged debacle of a withdrawal, what happened not only to our brave military men and women, which is unacceptable, but what happened to the women of Afghanistan. This first soundbite is going to take us a little bit behind the scenes. It's going to personalize a couple of Afghan women describing to you through interpreters just what has happened. Let's listen.
Since the Taliban swept to power in Afghanistan 2 years ago, Mariam's life has taken a series of drastic twists and turns. The 27-year-old used to work as a database officer for an international education project, but then the Taliban took over and the project was closed. Mariam lost her job. She became a teacher at a private school for girls, but was only able to hold on to that role for a year before the Taliban-led administration banned girls from attending high schools and universities. Refusing to give up, Mariam opened a sewing workshop 6 months ago, taking advantage of a course she attended 4 years ago. She's trained 15 former colleagues who were also unemployed to sew traditional Afghan clothes and hijabs.
I never turned back, nor did I ever give up. I continued on my path. Although there are no educational opportunities after the Taliban closed schools and universities, our minds can't be restricted. We can use our minds and fight against them. We should not miss opportunities or make excuses and give in to obstacles.
The Taliban entered the capital Kabul in August 2021, forcing the U.S.-backed president Ashraf Ghani to flee. Afghan security forces, set up with years of Western support, disintegrated. The lives of women there have changed dramatically since, and the rights and freedoms they enjoyed during two decades of rule by Western-backed governments continue to ebb away.
I didn't think that the Taliban would take over the country one day, and after they succeeded, the restrictions on women have increased day by day and caused us many problems. As far as I'm concerned, the victory day of the Taliban is the worst day for the people of Afghanistan.
I don't feel good and I'm not happy about this day. Right now, the Taliban are not ruling the country in the interest of the people. I don't understand why they are so negative about women. They said they were able to provide security for the people, but there hasn't been much better security.
The Taliban say they respect women's rights in line with their interpretation of Islamic law. The group has stopped most Afghan female staff from working at aid agencies. They've closed beauty salons, barred women from parks, and curtailed travel for women in the absence of a male guardian.
Well, the reference there to the male guardian should remind you, as a listener, of what happens to women in Saudi Arabia. All of this glamour about women having the right to drive, a few years ago, but they are still under a strict male guardianship law, which means they really can't go and make decisions without the approval of a male guardian. The same thing is true here in Afghanistan. And this so-called, women's rights is a world image-changing kind of claim. It is a debacle. It is a lie. When are women ever free under Sharia law, under Islamic law? Where is the freedom of women? You look in Iran. That's an Islamic society. It's male-centered, obviously, male-dominated. The same thing is here. I wanted you to hear just how life has changed for women. Brave women, some of them have fled. There was a whole soccer team that was whisked out of Afghanistan that has since migrated here to the United States. And I remember when this happened, there was a local Afghan woman and her child that had made it here. She was a soccer player, and they needed money to set up residency here. And I remember thinking, this is a great opportunity to put some action to my words. And I, contributed to that particular charity. But the point being is that there are some Afghans that leave, like this soccer player, but others that stay behind and will stand up, and they will protest at the cost of their own lives, and they are making their voices be heard. Now, the most recent thing that has happened, just it boggles the Western mind, They've closed beauty salons in Kabul. Now, everything they do is anti-woman. I want you to hear this special report right now for the next couple of minutes on the closing of beauty salons in Afghanistan.
22 days, that's how much longer beauty salons are able to stay open in Afghanistan under Taliban rule. All shops across the country were given 1 month's notice to close down. That is according to a Taliban spokesman. It is the latest move by the Taliban to roll back rights for women who are already largely confined to their homes with bans on most work and study. Here's Katie Pourglaise with more.
Driving through the streets of Kabul among the brightly colored shops is one last symbol of women being visible in the public life. Squeezing them out of sight, Taliban authorities ordered beauty parlors to be shut within the month, sending shockwaves for women already gripped in a chokehold. A salon owner who did not want to be identified for safety reasons told CNN the Taliban's order means her poverty-stricken family cannot afford the bare essentials. I don't understand why beauty salons should be banned, she says. My husband is jobless, and this beauty salon is the only means to feed my family. I have four kids. They need food and clothes. The Taliban seized back power in the summer of 2021, with thousands of terrified families flocking to Kabul airport, desperate to escape the group's barbaric rule. While the Taliban vowed reform, promising to be more progressive than their previous rule, women were quickly erased from public life. Banning teenage girls from secondary and higher education, and ordering non-profit organizations to stop their female employees from coming to work. The salon owner we spoke to says she doesn't know what more can be taken from them before there's nothing left at all. No woman is showing off her face with makeup outside, and we're already wearing hijab in public, she says. This will further deprive women of their rights and freedoms. As the Taliban slowly chips away at their rights, hope is slowly dwindling for some women. But others still haven't been deterred from raising their voices, even if it means risking their lives. Katie Pourglaise, CNN, London.
As you hear, this is life under the Taliban rule, who said they're not going to be like their predecessors. They're going to be more progressive. Yeah, that's like closing beauty salons is extremely progressive, not allowing women to go to school, to teach. Women have to stay at home. You know the routine. This is the oppression of women under Taliban rule 2 years ago. 2 years ago when this began, I knew I had to write about this. I write exclusively, I guess, for women in Iran. But, of course, the women around the world are my passion. It doesn't matter which country they're in. But I had to say something about the slow death of Afghan women under Taliban rule. So what I want to do right now, I want to revisit that blog. I want to read that blog to you to refresh your memory, to help you to understand that what is going on right now in Afghanistan, what's planned, and this corrupt, weak administration helped carry it out. Billions of dollars of military hardware was left behind. 13 Marines were senselessly slaughtered, and women were subjugated under Taliban rule. For 20 years, Afghan women had a real taste of freedom, but now all of that has drastically changed. What will their fate now be, once again under the oppressive rule of the Taliban? This is from The Cross in the Desert. It's a discussion page sharing the good news of Jesus Christ at blogspot.com. When the U.S. military finally pulled out of Afghanistan on August 30th, 2021, they not only abandoned billions of dollars worth of valuable equipment that became a gift for the enemy, but they also left behind thousands of American citizens, including Afghan women. For 20 years, Afghan women had enjoyed a new life of freedom where they could go to school, have regular jobs, vote in elections, and they were a productive part of society without the stigma of being treated as second-class citizens. However, on August 31st, 2021, all of that drastically changed. The Taliban marched into villages and cities and once again assumed their oppressive power. Christians immediately became targets of their terrorism and were hunted down and executed on the spot if Bibles were discovered on their cell phone. Women fear for their lives and begin dressing once again in full-length burqas in order to escape from being beaten or killed. They realize that their jobs would soon be terminated. They would become prisoners once again in their own home. Reports begin circulating claiming that the Taliban were going to be more lenient this time and give more rights to women. However, that rumor was soon put to rest. Remember this story? When a local female police officer that was 6 months pregnant was executed in front of her children and husband. So much for leniency. In the midst of this unforgivable nightmare and chaos created by yours truly, the incompetent Joe Biden administration, the State Department quickly, publicly admitted their shock that the new Taliban did not include any women. Are you kidding me? This is what they thought. We have made clear our expectation that the Afghan people deserve an inclusive government. This is what the State Department said. Oh, the Taliban is going to have an inclusive government. Well, guess again. Are you kidding me? Do they really believe that a group of terrorists care about some politically correct inclusion? Do you really believe they will change the rules of Sharia law to accommodate women? What planet are you living on? But that's the Biden administration. The so-called rumors of a gentler, kinder Taliban, they're completely false. Women will not be permitted to work 2 years later. That's the truth. Beauty salons closed down. Girls can no longer go to school or leave their homes without a male escort. You're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. Isn't that the truth? Veteran war correspondent and reporter Laura Logan at Fat Time, who worked on Fox News, she believed that the Taliban will put a small number of women in prominent roles, such as doctors, and they're going to do that to create a false image to the media that, well, we've really changed. For people like Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who holds out the possibility that a new government will recognize, quote, the basic rights of people, including women and girls, this new image will be very believable, right? He will swallow it hook, line, and sinker, and he did 2 years later. It's a slow, long, slow death if you are unlucky. If you're lucky, you'll be slaughtered quickly. That's Laura Logan, she said with tears in her eyes. This is what life is like for women under Taliban rule. Well, is there any hope for Afghan women? Are they really destined to be like sheep taking out to be slaughtered? Let me challenge that. I'm a person of prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. I have seen God do amazing things for my Iranian refugee friends in response to the prayers of many people. The Bible teaches that God is committed to the welfare of the oppressed. He is a God that rescues the broken and hurting because human lives are precious to him. Psalm 72, I use this all the time, but it's so true. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14, a beautiful little powerful psalm proving deliverance to the oppressed. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy. He will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. This is the God that I know. He hears the cries of the oppressed, deliver them. He understands the suffering of Afghan women because he took on human flesh in Christ and lived among us. During his earthly ministry, Jesus showed compassion and love toward women. He lifted them up from the gutters of discrimination. When Muslim women discover Jesus in the Gospels and see how he treated women, they are willing to leave Islam in order to follow him. Afghan women, I want to remind you, are not alone. God sees their plight, and when we pray, when the body of Christ intercedes, he will act. He hasn't changed. His character of mercy and compassion remains the same. He is a God of irresistible love that wants to lavish his goodness and mercy on us when we pray. The lives of Afghan women are precious to him. I want us to pause right now, and I want us to listen to this song of worship by Bethel Music. It is the story of who Jesus is, why we worship him, and why Afghan women, when Muslim women discover his love and compassion, they bow their knees to Jesus and leave Islam. This is an appropriate song for today. All hail King Jesus. beautiful, beautiful worship from Bethel Music. All hail King Jesus. The evil, dark forces. The evil, dark forces oppressing women in Iran, in Afghanistan. The Taliban must bow their knees to the lordship, to the deity, to the kingship of Jesus Christ. God hears the prayers of oppressed people. He hears women cry in the night. He sees their brokenness. He sees the oppression they are under, and he will rescue them. And we together as the body of Christ need to focus our attention on the God who saves, intercede faithfully daily for Afghan women to find their hope and freedom in Jesus and walk free out from under the oppressive iron fist of the Taliban. But it is our responsibility to be diligent in praying, to be diligent in speaking out. And as I did just a couple of years ago, if you see a GoFundMe or charity for Afghan women who are coming here that need to start a new life, please give. Give generously to organizations you can trust that will make sure that this transition goes smoothly. I want to thank you so much today for being a guest, for listening in on the Cross in the Desert. As August begins to come to an end, I want to remind us September 16th is a big day. It is a global rally, the one-year anniversary of the Woman, Life, and Freedom uprising in Iran after the death, the cruel, unjust death of Mahsa Amini. We're going to do a very special program in celebration of that day. God bless you. Have a great weekend. I will see you again on Monday, 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time on the Cross in the Desert.